104.7's Ryan and Tanya. Get up with Ryan and Tanya. They're just like you, only much weirder. For a faulty joint replacement compensation claim, mej.com.au. Hit 104.7.
131060, we want to hear about your home surgeries. We heard a story of a guy who did a vasectomy at home with his ex-girlfriend and mate that used to be a doctor.
And you say, we don't recommend doing this.
No, I'm all for it.
No, I'm against it.
Erin in Ngunnawal, what did you do?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I was living in Perth at the time, but I chopped the top of my toe off and my best friend stitched it back on for me at home.
Oh,
with,
God.
What, just like a needle and thread?
Yeah, she was training to be a nurse and she just said, well, I can do that. So we went around to her house and she stitched my toe back on.
Is it okay now?
Yeah, you actually wouldn't even know that I've chopped off the top of my toe.
She's done a very good job of it.
Yeah, was it a very, very deep cut or was it actually off? Like, completely...
Yeah, it was completely off. Like, I had chopped the whole top of my top. I was wearing thongs and I walked into, like, a wooden, like, door.
Yep.
And just, I hit the edge of it and it just literally chopped the top of my toe off.
Oh, yep.
All right.
There it is. Well, well done. That's a good result.
Sick for you. That would have been
result.
So painful.
Would you say you're now an advocate for home surgeries, Erin?
No.
Yeah, sure.
Yep, absolutely. God, sounds no. good. Sounds good. Let's go to Queanbeyan.
Johnny.
John, what'd you do, bro?
A mate of mine, he was living in the UK doing his house up and one of his doors was jammed, so he pulled it off and didn't have a planer. He had a handsaw and he was sawing the bottom of it and then it slipped, bounced onto the top of his forearm, went like to the bone. He got a caulking gun with Sally's No More Gaps, filled it up, wrapped it around with bandage and just kept going. And he was a professional footy player. And so I went away to Greece for 2 weeks, came back, and it was completely infected. He had to have like 2 weeks on the sideline.
Yeah, yes, of course he was.
Well, that's a shame about this.
No More Gaps, are you kidding?
I was actually about to say, that's better than, you see the Sally's ad when they're like, oh, you know, we need to fix up the plaster. They should be like, oh yeah, I fixed up my arm.
No.
It's a great endorsement.
Who needs plaster cast?
Oh God, who needs plaster cast? Well, it sounds like he did.
I feel sick listening to this. This is horrendous.
Let's finish with Annette. Annette, who performed the home surgery?
My brother. I am not this crazy.
Okay, what did he do?
Well, he fell over in the shower and he had a nipple ring. He caught his nipple ring on the shower caddy and it ripped off.
So,
as the story goes, he rocked back and forth for a while in the shower and then got up and super glued it back on.
What? He super glued his nipple back on?
He super glued it back on. It was hanging by a flap and so he decided, well, that's what he was going to do.
Okay.
What did he
long
was
term,
it
a,
yeah,
what happened?
Yeah. Is it still
long
on?
Term, he was fine. It's a little bit crooked.
Are you serious? It worked?
Yes.
That is unbelievable.
Weird lesson, isn't
it? And what sort of, was it just a regular clag or a glue stick or a super glue?
No, it was super glue. Apparently super glue was originally designed as a skin adhesive for people in the front lines of war.
Oh, yeah, Aral died.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
That is a fun fact. Well, all these people are geniuses. Why would you bother going to a hospital and admitting to a nurse that you ripped your nipple ring off in a shower accident?
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Actually, I need your advice right now.
Mm.
I don't know if you can help me, right? I don't know if I'm alone. Are you an all or nothing kind of person?
In what sense?
I'm either all in or I'm out.
Okay.
So with food, this is a great example.
Yep.
With food, I'm either on a diet and I'm so strict and I'm really good at it.
Yep.
Or I'm off it and I'll eat anything.
Right. So there's, you.
What, I'm like a dumpster truck straight to the mouth.
So you want a little, you
I just have
some
no
middle ground.
Balance. Yeah, balance is a really hard thing for me. I've always struggled with this. And this is like work, right? Work. Mm-hmm. I'm all in.
Yep.
Or I'm like, nah. Like I can't do the balance thing.
Yep.
For example, right, with food, and I'm really struggling with this. I thought the other day, I'm gonna have chicken and broccoli and mash. Like that's gonna be my meal.
Yep.
And I ate it and thought, oh, healthy, thin, nailing it. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I finished it, I was like, but I do feel like something sweet. And instead of just having like one protein ball or one mint slice, I had a packet of mint slice.
How many in a packet?
Like, I don't know, 17? Like, a lot.
Is there a point in, is it just, they're just gone? Or do you eat two and you go, oh, God, I
Yeah, and then
go
you
three.
Go back.
And then you go, I couldn't
get
go
another
four.
Two.
And
then you go, yeah, exactly.
That's and are you conscious of this at the time? Or
you talk yourself out of it that it's a bad thing. You go, right. Yeah, but you've had a stressful day or.
You deserve it.
Right. Like, you, I like mentally talk myself into it or out of it, whatever I'm feeling. And then I'd had so much sweet stuff. I went, oh, I'm full of sweet stuff. I need something savoury. So I had a bigger super slice, right? And then that wasn't
Is
enough.
Is that savoury, a slice of cheese?
Mm. Well, in my mind, it was like savoury. And then I finished the slice of cheese and went, that cheese was good. I'd probably go some more. So then I had a bread roll.
Yeah.
This is at 9 o'clock at night with two slices of cheese on it.
Just hoeing it down.
And then I finished that and went, too much savoury in my stomach. I need more sweet. And had two rows, or maybe, if I'm honest, three rows of snack Cadbury chocolate. And can I just say, do you remember that for 3 months I had no sugar and I lost 8 kilos? I have put on 12 since I finished that. Can you believe?
Oh, so it's the 8 back on plus some.
Yes.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm all or nothing. Yep. I just have no idea how to balance it. And I think it's all mental.
Right.
Like, because I tell myself, oh, nah, it's okay because
you need the savoury now. Right. You've had this, but you need the savoury.
Yes, and then I wake up going, why don't my pants fit? And it's like, because you do not need an entire, whatever it's called, of biscuits, like a tray of biscuits. I can't, how do I manage that? What do I do?
I mean,
Probably see a professional, if I'm honest, instead of airing it on the radio.
No, I think that's a good option. I feel like a lot of people in that boat. I bought Bridget a box. She goes, can you just get some cookies? And I took her one with a cup of tea before bed. And then the next night, I said, I might make us a cup of tea. You want another cookie? And she just goes,
It's so hard to eat healthy.
Yeah. Maybe, do you need to eat a better, like when you say you thought you were thin the first time.
with the
broccoli. I mean, maybe that needs to be a bit better and then it'll cover all bases.
Eat more of it, like eat more broccoli.
Yep. Okay. We've solved it here, folks. Right here on Hit 104.7, the cure for eating less is to put more on your plate. Is that what we're sticking
with? Well, if it's healthy, maybe. Oh, God, I don't know. No. I'm going to go home to Tim Tams anyway.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Right now, 131060. What should Anonymous do? Anonymous has sent a letter saying, I met this guy over summer. We dated and have sort of been together ever since. And we're talking about moving in together next year in 2018. But over the weekend, he asked me to delete all the guys from my phone who I've been with before. Anonymous says, it's not that many, but it still just doesn't feel right that he's deciding who and who isn't in my phone. What should I do? Is this normal?
And you think it's not normal and you think she should get out.
Well, it might be normal, but it's not a good normal. I mean, it's a big red flag and a sign that this guy is going to be one of those controlling types and wants to be in charge of everything. And no, you can't speak to them. And I don't like anyone sort of telling anyone else what to do.
Especially in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Marianne. Marianne, what's your advice?
I just want to congratulate you guys because your response is absolutely brilliant. And I say that because I've worked in the area of domestic violence for a long time and it's absolutely a warning sign. And these patterns of behaviour always start off very subtle and then they escalate in severity and they escalate in frequency. So I would say absolutely, I think you're spot on. With the limited info we have, I think it's very much a warning sign and brilliant for you guys picking it up and just confirming that message. So, yeah, well done.
Okay, well, thanks, thank you, Marianne. Yeah, it does, like, you hear a lot of bad stories.
Professional.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's head to Sam. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, guys, my question is, why is she so worried about deleting these numbers? If these blokes have no meaning to her, really, she should be able to respect her partner. My missus asked me to delete my exes. I already had them deleted. They don't mean anything to me.
Yeah, right. Were they sort of in the same friendship group or did you have anything to do with them or was it quite easy to delete them?
Oh, very easy, mate. No meaning. Just get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's not going to lead to domestic violence like that last caller just said, You're saying you don't know the...
All we know is what we've read out. Yeah,
there's a lot we don't know.
No, you don't know what this bloke's like. He could be the chillest bloke in the world, but, he just doesn't want the idea that, maybe she goes out on the town one night, has a few too many drinks and contact the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. And I think that knowing like how close they are with those other guys is
makes
really
all
important.
The difference.
Because there's a lot of people that, you know, you grow up with your big group of friends, maybe 20 or so friends from high school, and between the age of 13 and 30, you know, everyone kind of crosses paths and, yeah. Oh, he used to be with her for a little
yeah,
bit,
but you've
blah,
still...
blah, blah. And you're still all mates.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah, but thanks for that, Sam. Let's go to Matt. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, mate, I agree. I think he's well within his right to ask her to delete it. I think if the shoe was on the other foot, she'd be humming a very different tune, actually.
What if he was sort of texting his exes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it'd be a totally different story in that case.
Yeah, someone on our Facebook page actually wrote that. They said, oh, why doesn't she just say, all right, I'll do it if you do it, and
yeah.
then just gauge the response. Because if...
Well, it's not like he's asked her to delete every man she's ever known in her life, just the one she's been with. I reckon yeah. that's pretty fair, mate.
Yeah, if it was every man, yeah. I think that's when you'd be like, end scene, goodbye. Yeah. That's too much.
But, yeah, and again, she said it's not that many. I don't know what not that many means. But
I don't even want to talk to my ex-boyfriend. I got nothing to say to him.
Besides, how are you doing? Poorly, obviously. I've upgraded. You lose.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Hey, I wasn't on air yesterday, as you obviously know, but I have a reason, and I don't know if you know the reason, but it was because my flight out of Sydney was cancelled.
Yep.
Anyone who says that they enjoy being in an airport is kidding themselves. No. That is the worst time ever. Especially when you don't have permission to be in the lounge. You have to, like, just sit around like a peasant with all your stuff on you and you can't go to the toilet. And when you do, there's, like, 600 things you're going to push and...
Well, no one... Well, we've said on this show many times that travelling is awful.
Oh, it's just
destinations, sure.
Heaven. Traveling. For no one.
Nah.
So anyway, they cancelled my flight. And a part
so you just have to sit in the airport?
Sit in the airport for 8, like it was delayed obviously for like 2 hours. And then they're like, oh, look, we'll get you on the plane back to Canberra. You sit on the plane and they were still fixing what was wrong with it whilst we're on the plane. We had to sit on the plane for maybe like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
It's the worst.
And when it's not moving and the flight's only like 25 minutes and you're sitting on a plane for 2 hours and it still hasn't got, you know what I mean? And this is at like 10:30 at night. And I was just over it. Everyone on the plane was over it. It's all, you know, professionals.
Was there any sort of like, can we just wait in the airport? At least you can get up and there's a bar and food and a toilet.
And just you can stand up, just room.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, we think we're going to be able to get it off the ground. And anyway, they couldn't get it off the ground. Mm. And I don't know if I made a great mistake or a great friend, but I decided to talk.
If you don't know, it's probably not the second one.
Well, you know, they say never talk to the person next to you on a plane.
No. Grave error.
I know, but I thought, nah, I'm bored. My phone died. I've got nothing else. I've got to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I started chatting to this.
Did this guy want to be spoken to?
I think so. He was up for a chat. He was on for a chat. He was wearing thongs in the middle of winter. So, it wasn't winter, but, you know, it was cold and he was in thongs, so I thought he was up for a chat. Anyway, he was like about 45. His name was Paul. Lives in Canberra. Owns a steel factory. I was talking about his trip to Darwin and his kids and his racing. And we got chatting for 2 hours.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, you get taken off the plane. It's been cancelled, so you've got to line up for your hotel voucher. So we're in line together for another hour for the hotel voucher. Then we had to line up for the cab, another half hour. Then you had to line up to check in to get into the Ibis. Ooh, that is not a fun time.
So
it was another, like, you know, 45 minutes in the line. I've gotten to know this bloke really, really well. And then by the time we've checked in, they've put us in, you know, opposite or next to each other in the hotel room on the Ibis. And he's come out and gone,
Do you want to share a twin?
He's come out and gone, he is recently divorced. He came out and he was like, hey, how many beds do you have? And I was like, oh, I've got a single. And he's like,
angling.
I got a double.
He's angling hard.
No, we were just like bonding because we were like.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Really? And then the next day, you know, we caught our cab back together and then we're on the plane together. And now today I wake up without my plane bestie, Paul, and I kind of miss him because I feel like I went through an ordeal with those people. We were together for like 12 hours. And now I'm sort of thinking, I wonder what Paul's doing.
I'll tell you what Paul's doing. He does the afternoon shift on 2CC and he's telling a story this afternoon about, you'll never guess the most annoying person of all time. Just won't leave me alone. I wonder what she's doing now. No, let's pray for Paul.
No, Paul was my friend.
Let's get him on.
Those hours, I feel like he was a really close friend.
Yeah.
I don't have his number or anywhere to contact him. But.
Well, 131064, if you're still keen for 10 like you were the other night in the double room.
No, it wasn't sexual. It was friendship.
We'll find out soon.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
And today is Are You Okay Day, which is sort of like, in my mind, the way I see Are You Okay Day, Ryan, is that it's a reminder to reach out and to talk to people who might not be doing okay. So in my mind, Are You Okay Day is every day. And that is sincerely asking if someone's doing okay. No matter who they are or your relationship to them. It could be like a best friend or someone at work or your parents. Sometimes people just want to talk. And I think a problem shared is a problem halved. I know sometimes I've spoken about things. I just need to vent and I feel better. And that's obviously not the case for everybody. If you talk to someone and they need help, obviously Lifeline is always available. It's 13 11 14 is the number. But the other thing you can do is obviously recommend them to see a GP, which will forward them on to a psychologist. every time I talk about Are You Okay Day, I get so emotional. I think that's right and I think that's normal. This is a really, really serious thing that's happening in Australia. 8 Australians a day take their life. It's so serious. It makes me so sad. People have said that they haven't asked if people were okay, and this is some research that Are You Okay Day have done. They've not asked if someone is okay because they said, I've got enough going on. This problem will sort itself out. They seem fine on social media. I'll make it worse. It's none of my business. But with 8 Australians a day taking their life, this is all of our business. The other thing I want to mention is to those going through a hard time, you are not alone. Please reach out and speak to somebody because it's okay not to be okay and it's so normal to get help. I have these lyrics that I want to share with you if you are struggling at the minute. Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Oh, God, I'm going to bloody cry. Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could just disappear, like you could fall and no one would hear? Well, let that lonely feeling wash away, because maybe there's a reason to believe that you'll be okay. Even when the dark comes crushing through, even when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, because you'll reach up and you'll rise again. Lift your head and look around. You will be found. You are not alone and you can always reach out. You will be found. Please call Lifeline if this has brought up anything for you, and the number is 13 11 14. But remember to ask your friends, family, even colleagues, anyone you know if they're okay, not just today, but every day.
Well said, Tan. Well said.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Right now, it's footy finals time of the year. Ooh, Tanya, can you feel the vibe of the city?
Yeah. I'm more excited about Macklemore because he's performing at the grand final. Like, yep. I'm interested in that.
Producer Maddie, your lost interest after your Sharks just took a dive?
Yeah, well, somewhat. I'll still watch, but, I mean, Cronulla aren't in it, so who really cares? Am I right?
Well, is your AFL team still in it or are they out?
Yeah, no, they're long gone. Hey, we're hearing rumours that it's not uncommon for players who make it through to the grand final, which means 4 weeks of footy finals, can get tested 4 times this month for drugs. And so they rock up to your house and knock on the door and go...
Rock up to your house?
Yep. And sometimes at the club, sometimes at your house, anywhere, they just come and drug test. And could you imagine, you know, every now and then you go, well, it's a part of the sport, but every week for 4 weeks, like that's pretty...
And invasive in your house. But still, I guess they're just trying to make sure it's an even playing field.
Yeah, so but there's a few rumblings about players are starting to get a little bit annoyed with this sort of thing. And look, I'm the poorest excuse of a former athlete, but back in my volleyball days, I got tested a few times. So I'd like to take you behind the scenes of what happens.
Because you were
a
professional.
Test. Yeah.
That's a big deal. Like, you talk it down, but I think that's actually really huge.
So you get randomly selected, and sometimes it's after a game, they'll just come into the rooms and go, yep, you two.
Oh, wow.
You guys are up today, and they give you a big bottle of water, and they say, look, we're going to test you in about 30 minutes, so, you know, just for stage fright, here's a bottle of water, start drinking away, and when you finish doing your team stuff, just come and visit us out the back, and that's how it all works. And I was like, oh, stage fright, that sounds awful. And you're a bit dehydrated after the game anyway.
Of course.
So I'm just chugging the water going, oh, I've got this drug test, I don't want to stand there looking like an idiot, because I've heard one guy was there for like 6 hours.
Whoa!
Yeah, so I was just chugging
was
it down.
Was he on any substances?
No, just stage just fright, because they have to watch you do it, and someone was looking, and he just
felt
weird.
Like,
they
have to watch it leave you.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah. So
that's evasive.
In Australia, your shorts have to be below your knees and your shirt up above your chest. So they have to be able to see the whole thing and actually watch it come out and into the thing.
It makes sense.
Yep. So because they don't want to be accused of tampering, right? Yeah. So what they do is they say, come in and you choose your jar. You choose the lid of the jar and you choose the person to go with you, because, you know, you could imagine if they go, well, here's your jar.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so okay. It's all very... But I'd chug so much water and I'm like... I'm ready to go. Let's do it. Like, okay, sir, if you would just sign here and pick that. I'm like, just give me any jar. I gotta go. And it was really awkward because when you get in there, I was like, sorry, but, and he's like, okay, sir, I'll just take the lid off here. And it was just like all over his hand. And it was awful. But that's how it works in Australia.
Wait, you weed on his hand?
Well, I filled the thing, and then you're like, well, what happens next?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's what happens in Australia. It's all very formal, and there's processes, and there's people to watch you, right?
Hmm.
But one time I was playing volleyball in Malaysia, and three of us imports had to go and get tested, and this is one of the... It still makes me cringe to this day. So instead of the whole jar process, pick someone, they literally just put a cup on the counter and go, and they're sort of pointed to, you know, downstairs and go, sample.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, okay. So the three of us go off to the bathrooms to give a sample, and Tommy comes out and he puts his cup on the table and it's three quarters full of yellow. And I come out and put my cup on the table and it's three quarters of yellow. Now Scott comes out.
No, I don't call him that.
Well, he comes out with sweat on his brow about 5 minutes later and puts the cup on the bench, but instead of it being three quarters full yellow, it's one quarter full white. And then he realizes what he's done, and all the nurses and people just start laughing and like yelling at him like hilariously, but in Malaysian.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't know, they just said sample, I don't understand what's going on. Can you not test this anyway?
Oh my God.
No, we can't, Scott. Send it back, thanks, and do it the proper way this time.
Get up with Ryan and Tanya. Hit 104.7.
Tanya was saying that she had a new best friend, a new bestie that you met on a plane during a delay. It was a crisis and it brought you two strangers together.
Yeah, it was 12 hours. Like, that's a long time.
It's a big ordeal.
We got chatty. Yep. And I just felt like, and I reckon I got a new bestie here.
Yeah, and you did say he had a bit of an old man charm about him. And he said, oh, look inside my hotel room. Now, I'm not the kind of guy who would imply anything untoward. But from what I'm hearing, is it was a very special relationship with Paul, the plane bestie.
No, he was... You're taking this out of context.
Well, we've got Paul's number, so should we find our own context?
Yes.
Here? All right, let's put the call through.
Paul speaking.
Hi, Paul. This is Ryan and Tanya from Hit 104.7. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
We're very good. Can I just confirm that, did you have an annoying person tag along with you the other day when you were stuck in a bit of a flight delay?
Oh, I should have seen her. Yeah. In a flap. The Richter scale went up as her battery power went down.
Are you kidding? Paul, I was on for a chat. I thought we were in this together. I thought you were my crisis plane bestie.
Oh, yeah. Yep, definitely.
Oh, my God! What?
Yeah, I know the feeling. Earlier, Tanya was all about, oh, we just had such a connection, and I think he was into me. He said, do you want to come and see my room? We were just getting along like a house on fire, and I think sometimes you just need to be able to read the room, you know? You know what I'm saying, Paul?
Mate, hearing you, I think my wife would kill me.
Okay, can I just say, none of that happened. I have a boyfriend. I was just saying I have a plain bestie who may be in his 40s.
Right.
Are you in your 40s?
I am in my 40s, and yes, I was told many a time about her lovely boyfriend.
Okay, that's great. Now, would you describe Tanya as your plain bestie? Like, how would you describe Tanya? Because she's coming and you're going, I've got a new friend, and this is the new me, and we're all buddies now. Would you describe the relationship the same way?
Oh, very much so. Very
yes!
much so.
He's just saying that because he goes to me, well, I said to him, I might give him a plug for his business on the air. He's angling for that.
Where do you work, Paul?
So me and the old man own Wealthcraft Engineering in Canberra.
Well, there you go.
Quality business, quality man. Oh, God, now it seems like
right?
I'm hitting
you
on him.
Every time I'm nice,
I come off like real flirty.
Well, Paul, thank you for confirming what we thought was a fictional story, but we really appreciate it. And what station do you normally listen to? Because Tanya said
you do not, Paul. You said on the plane you don't listen to the radio.
No, well, I do on the odd occasion.
It's two double C, though, isn't it?
Once a decade.
No, definitely not two double C. Jeez. I'm not 55. Yeah.
Scotty and Nigel sounding a little different.
Yes.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your time this morning, mate.
No worries, thank you. We had a lovely evening.
Oh, sure you did.
Hit 104.7.